Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I am not Mike Crute. Mike Crute has his ass in the sand somewhere, I'm sure, burning right, bright red right now. I am here at the studios at WAUK in Waukesha with my friend, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannolis on Saturdays, 9 to 11 here on the Civic Media Network. And most importantly, a friend of the Devil's Advocates. Jim, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Dom,
man.
I'm delighted to be with you this afternoon. We probably couldn't get sunburned in today's Waukesha, but nonetheless, we're here and we're delighted to be with you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. It's been a lot of fun getting friends of the Devils
Absolutely.
In here. And Jim's going to be with me all day long. You can join us on the phones as well. 844-967-2789. Jim, kind of want to usually start locally here, start in the state of Wisconsin.
Let's do it.
And yep. Counselor, as the attorney here, right. I want to get your sense. Dan Kelly, of course, the conservative running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, on the payroll of the Wisconsin GOP, on the payroll of the Republican National Committee, specifically providing legal advice. Presumably on... According to the reporting from Dan Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the fraudulent elector scheme.
Election issues, right? Right. And so apparently getting about $120,000 from the reporting. No small amount, at least to you and me, right? So we've got a lot of lawyers out there, now a judge, former justice, a lawyer now once again, getting this money to advise on election matters, including this fake electors situation, which is very troubling. I think it's the one of all of these things, of all the pieces of the January 6th event and before and after it, this is the one that goes to democracy, right? This is the one that really attacks who we are as a republic. You are putting together these statements, these written documents. They're intended to do what? To defraud the government. Basically to say, you know what? In the state of Wisconsin, those electors who purport to be the real McCoy, they're not it. Instead, it's us. And so choose us as the ones who properly voted for Donald Trump and give Wisconsin to Donald Trump. That's a pretty disgusting thing to do, and should be illegal as well. We'll see if there is some prosecutor out there, perhaps not in the state of Wisconsin, but maybe in the Department of Justice, who's going to get back to that and say, you know what, that is in violation of federal election laws.
Well, and to the degree that the Pro Tsayawas campaign picks this up, or some of these outside influencers, these outside money, I mean, hell, Jim, this is the most expensive state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin and this U.S. history.
Getting national attention, right? Yeah. It's at the top of the headlines, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but around the nation, and people looking at for the money in part. But that underscores the fact that this election means something.
Yeah.
And it means something here in Wisconsin. It means something throughout the United States of America. This kind of story should be the sort of thing that voters look to and say, gee, is this the kind of guy that we want on our Supreme Court? Now, a lawyer? Yes, indeed. They can make money doing these kinds of things. But the notion that you are involved in some way in what everybody now regards as an attempt, once again, to undermine our elected process, you can talk about providing election advice and theories and concepts, those kinds of things. We know what happened in Wisconsin, about seven other states. And your involvement in that is something that voters should be looking at and saying, you know what, is this the kind of guy who makes the judgment call right. to become involved in this and then goes ahead and does it? And oh, by the way, did I say it already? Gets paid $120,000 for that and presumably other things. It is problematic at a minimum. probably isn't illegal. I need to emphasize that. But again, hopefully we're not electing to our Supreme Court justices who are facing criminal prosecution. That's a pretty high bar.
Well, not illegal,
here, right?
Because we don't know what quote-unquote advice was given.
Right.
We do not. And he's not telling us because of a client attorney privileged.
Right.
So now we just have to, what, speculate?
Right, exactly.
And if that's the case, well, I'm going for Paul Stewart anyway.
Sure, right.
But I've been talking about this, and I'm struggling with it, Jim, and that's why I appreciate your input from the legal perspective. They seem to be getting away with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Call, the attorney general here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm a supporter of Josh Call. Voted
absolutely,
for Josh Call.
Right?
You know,
as
great.
Did I.
But how about looking into this?
Right.
Dana Nessel, the AG from Michigan.
Is doing it.
She brought people in asking questions.
Absolutely.
All we're doing is asking questions.
And
Josh Call hasn't touched it as far as we know.
Right.
What's your take on the Wisconsin's attorney general?
You know, again, I'm exactly the same. That as I voted for him, I certainly support him. He certainly is better than the other candidates who've been out there in the last two elections. So to that extent, not a lot of criticism there. On the other hand, we expect an attorney general to be what? Enforcing the laws in the state of Wisconsin. Provided this advisory opinion to the election commission, basically said, no, nothing to see here, no problems here. That was a long time ago. And that's more than simply declining to prosecute. That's affirmatively stating that under Wisconsin law, there's nothing here to look at and therefore go on our ways. Now, I am not a student of state criminal law in great detail. I did criminal federal prosecution. On the other hand, every single jurisdiction, including Michigan, where, yes, we've got an attorney general there, and others who looked at this and said, you know what, this has got to violate our state laws against doing what? Making false statements, lying about things. They're material, they're relevant. They go to something that's very important. It is the election, nothing short of that. And under those circumstances, once again, you look across the big pond here and you see that attorney general over there in Michigan. And what did she do? She also said, you know, I'm happy that the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. is looking at this. They're taking too much time. So she's pulled it back.
Yeah. She stood down. I mean, she was.
I'll defer to you.
And she was not happy about it. She deferred to the feds and then got back into it, deciding, well, they're taking too long.
Too long.
Let's do something here in the state.
And again, to answer your question even more directly, there is nothing that precludes both a state prosecution and a federal prosecution based upon the same fact pattern. It's under different statutes, obviously.
Sure.
And yes, there can be arguments to motions to dismiss for one or the other, those kinds of things. That, again, what keeps lawyers in business, as we talked about in connection with the first story here. But the reality is that this is a matter for state integrity, too. And so I will say again publicly, as you have said, as others have said, our attorney general should be more aggressive on this and should be out there at least at a minimum. It doesn't appear that he's got an open file on this, at least investigating it more, calling in people, doing what those other attorneys general are doing, plainly doing what the Department of Justice, Lisa Monaco, told us many, many months ago. The Department of Justice is looking at this. Presumably now Jack Smith has got this under his wing. There are people being called in. We know there are Wisconsin-based people who have gotten on planes and gone to Washington, D.C. to do what? Either to be interviewed by the FBI, presumably also to go down the street and go to the federal courthouse and talk to the grand jury there. We don't know all about that. Those are secret proceedings. But those are Wisconsin people who are being called in to testify about this. And so, once again, I think there's reason to be concerned about the fact that locally, our attorney general's office apparently has deferred and has demurred, as we say in the legal profession, and decided not to pursue this. It's not too late, unlike other things which we've talked about, Don.
You can do it right now.
You can do it right now.
You can do it right
exactly,
now.
Right?
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, R. Frank, going to stick around with us today, 844-967-2789. Jim, it's not just Wisconsin people. I'm a Wisconsin person.
Absolutely.
I didn't go down to testify at a grand jury. I did not give January 6th testimony, but you know who did? Some Republicans. Like, I don't know, the former head of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt.
Absolutely.
Andrew Hitt, he was down there. He testified. He talked about it. He's the one that talked about employing, what, Dan Kelly?
Right, exactly. And that's where to get some of this information about the recent story here. And you also have to understand, I think it's implicit, Dom, in your question, when you get called into a grand jury like this, it's not a matter of just disclosing this very discreet piece of prosecution possibility here. When you are in front of a grand jury, whoever the assistant U.S. attorney is, maybe it's a trial attorney in the Department of Justice, you're asked about everything. And so it would include false electors here in Wisconsin. But to your point, much beyond that, what did you do? Why did you decide that you wanted the state Supreme Court to revisit this issue? Happened to be that they decided not to do that on the very day that the electors were meeting. Why did you decide to go back to the United States Supreme Court? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You can petition. The courts are open.
Certainly.
But those kinds of things, what is your motivation for doing that when you know that Joe Biden has won the popular vote by a sizable, demonstrable margin here? You know that there is no there. And that puts you in the same category. Yes, that's right. With the Rudy Giulianis of the world, other folks out there who've traveled around the country and made the same pitch. You know that that's wrong. You know that there's no basis for it. Why did you do that? And so all those things, including, once again, the Dan Kelly connection.
Oh, Andrew Hitt was apparently, according to the testimony and some of the reporting, he was against it. Oh, this is crazy. Well, he ended up eventually going along with it.
Absolutely.
Jim. So it doesn't matter how much you thought about it, you know, the consternation that you went through. At the end of the day, he signed his name on the dotted line. And so he's given testimony. Is there any sense that there's any exposure for people like Andrew Hitt? Again, if you gave testimony to the feds, if you gave testimony to Jack Smith and the J6 committee, they could use that somebody if there was something there. So am I overreacting then?
Not at all. Again, you can provide testimony on all these things. It also can be used in other forms, right? You can put me under oath in the Waukesha County Courthouse, and if you ask me questions about things, I'm under oath. I can be subject to perjury prosecution for lying there. So all that can be used all over the place. To your very good point about the Troopist statements, we recall as well from the January 6th report precisely what you just described. That is, he reaches out and he says to people, gosh, I don't know. I don't like this very much. This sounds kind of odd to me, kind of weird to me. Those are my words, not his. But he plainly expresses reservations about going ahead with this. And then, as you just said, he does it anyway.
Oh, Andrew Hitt specifically.
Right, exactly, right? And I'm sorry, Andrew Hitt. And so what is the point of that? That means not only did you do this, but you had knowledge, you had intent that there was a problem here, right? And if others went ahead, I know the defense says to many of the other folks as well, gee, the lawyers just told me about this and I relied upon that. And for that reason, nothing more for me to be concerned about.
Right.
Here in this case, not only a lawyer, but also someone who recognizes internally this is problematic and you still do the very thing that everybody else did, which is lie to the federal government and make a false statement. You write it out, you send it off to Washington, and you attempt to undermine our election. Stunning.
It is. It really is. When you put it that way, it sounds really bad.
Right. It
James
does.
Santel.
It does.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates here all day, well, till 6, 844-967-2789. We'll get your calls right when we come back.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 4:20 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel with me in the studios here in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And folks, you've been hearing the weather. It is just starting now. The snow is just starting to move in. So here we go. Be prepared. It is Wisconsin. It is March.
It is still winter time. Spring has not yet arrived, right?
So we'll be fine. But you keep aware out there as it starts to come down. Once again, the phone number is 844-967-2789. Let's get to some of the callers. Rose from Waukesha, you are first today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Long time listener.
Contact us today for a free consultation.
Hold on a minute.
Hello. What happened to Rose? There we go.
Hello?
Rose, go ahead. I'm sorry. We
are you there?
Out there for a minute.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to share with you an experience I had last night. My husband and I attended Senator Kanga's special listening session.
Okay.
In Dunston, Wisconsin. He represents the city of Waukesha, and we had a couple topics we wanted to ask him about. Plus, the fire and emergency personnel there as well, which is a whole other story. The two questions I had for Senator Kango was relative to medical marijuana and the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately shut us down. No discussion, not going to happen. And even though we had an advisory referendum back in 2018, where the majority of Wisconsin voters were in support of that. And I said, well, basically, sir, then you are going against the will of the voters. And he says, well, I'm okay with that. So I was really kind of taken aback by just his, the power that he yields, because he won't bring it up for debate at all. And so second, the other item was really kind of unfortunate for the firefighters and emergency personnel in Lake Country. Their call rate has gone up by 35%. And they put to referendum to the community to expand their department. With all the boat traffic, they, like I said, it's an important resource. The public voted it down. Many people, even though they have this high residential property, they felt, well, if you can get to my house in 12 minutes, I'm okay with that. In Waukesha, the city of Waukesha, it's less than five. So they didn't want their property taxes to increase to support the firefighters and the emergency personnel that rely, to support that community. And I was just taken aback. The senator said, nope, I can't touch that. It's up to your voters to decide. And it was an interesting experience. I really encourage your listeners to attend those listening sessions if your representative, has them. Right now I'm trying to reach out to another representative, Adam Nealon, because I want to hear, what's going on. How can I express, my feelings towards a certain, abortion or medical marijuana or supporting the fire and police if they don't have listening sessions?
Right. All great issues.
I'm waiting to hear a response from him. Go ahead.
No, Rose, this is Jim. I was just going to say, all great issues. And you also used a word that's interesting. You said, no debate about it. Debate, discussion. That's, again, it's in our Constitution, the debate clause. And the idea is not that you get up there like high school debate. It's there, you're in the forum. It's called, as you just said, Rose, a listening session. Presumably that's not for you to listen to our representatives.
Well,
that's the other direction,
maybe,
right?
Maybe not.
Maybe that is maybe that is your report that you're giving here today. The notion is you are there in part. Yeah, you can go back and forth and say, Rose, I disagree with you on that, but tell me more about why you're interested in medical marijuana. Tell me that. See if there are other people in the room and you can express your views. That's what those forums are intended for. And to the extent that we've got representatives, including your senator and others, who are saying, no, I'm done with that. Let's move on. That is not representative democracy. And you should absolutely show up, insist on that discussion. I'm a big advocate, as others have pointed fingers at me and jokingly and said, Jim, the letter writing's got to come to an end. But put a stamp on an envelope and send it in and say, this is something that troubles me. That does have an impact. The postcards may not, but that does have an impact. Write to your representatives. The other point that I would make, Rose, is, your comment about taxes. This is going to get me elected to exactly nothing. Taxes are the price we pay for a free society. Taxes, Rose, are the price we pay also for a society, a community that's not burning down, right? To make it quite pointed. And so this notion that taxes somehow is a dirty word, and the notion that we would raise it somewhat because we want a higher level of learning and living and all those kinds of things, completely contrary to what we should be about as a part of a community.
Well, speaking of taxes, and thank you for the call, Rose. Great point at the 420 break. Saw this one today. I think I'll throw it out there.
Good.
Given the 420 break, Illinois, from urban Milwaukee, Illinois, Michigan, gained $770 million from cannabis taxes in 2022. Right. While Wisconsin Republican legislators struggled to legalize even medical marijuana. It is unbelievable. Again, a little bit here. Illinois, Michigan, again, raked in hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue on recreational weed sales last year, and Minnesota's planning to join the party by fully legalizing the drug. Meanwhile, Wisconsin sits at a near island of cannabis prohibition. Way to go, Wisconsin. Prohibition. Surrounded by states with legal weed. But as medical marijuana inches towards legalization in the states, experts say policymakers would have the benefit of hindsight from the states who went first. $770 million in something that, you know what, Jim?
It's a lot of money, right?
A lot of that's coming from Wisconsin,
exactly,
man.
Right.
You know where I go buy my legal weed,
right.
Jim? It's in Illinois, in Michigan.
It is 45 miles away, right? You just crossed the border. And again, to your very good point, we are at a time right now in the state of Wisconsin, and yes, the federal government as well. President of the United States of America announcing his budget right now.
Yeah.
Tony Evers just recently announcing. We're talking about having a surplus. Yes, that's right. But again, precious funds, and there are disagreements about where those precious surpluses should go.
Always.
Why not get even more money to spread that around even further? And maybe we answer some of those critics who might say, you know, we can't use it in this particular area or that.
Great points, Jim. We are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Come back with us. We'll be right back.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
To the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789. I am joined in studio by James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannoli Saturdays on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11. He's a former U.S. attorney and a friend of ours, Jim. I always appreciate you coming around, man.
Fun to be with you this afternoon. Lots and lots of stuff to talk about.
Lots of stuff.
State stuff, federal stuff, everything in between. So looking forward to the entire afternoon with you, Don.
Well, and I love your perspective on from the legal side of it, Jim. Jim Troupas, the other
right.
Jim.
Not another good Jim.
This guy, he was Trump's attorney here in the state of Wisconsin. And he's apparently was on retainer for U.S. Senator Ron Johnson for a stint because Ron was going to challenge his election at one point, I guess.
Right. Yep.
And so Troop was what he argued for the Trump campaign here in the state of Wisconsin in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court to throw out like 160,000 votes from Milwaukee and Madison, Milwaukee County and Dane County.
In such a way that would skew the electoral vote, right? And so this is no small thing. Made that petition. The Supreme Court rejected it. And apparently on the same day that the electors were meeting.
Does that matter? But, I mean, from a legal standpoint, when they met after the Wisconsin Supreme Court made that decision, does that matter?
You know, it doesn't probably matter legally, so to speak, but it certainly does matter in the court of public opinion, right? That you're doing this when you know that right down the street, quite literally in that same building, if you will, in that thing called our state capitol, this thing that is directed by the Constitution is going on, and you're down the hallway saying, you know what, you got to throw out all these votes. Again, and as we said before, you know that there's no there. There's no basis for doing that. And then, you know, you also are petitioning the United States Supreme Court for the same kind of thing. Again, not contemporaneous with that, but you're pulling out all the stops.
If they didn't know, and I believe they didn't know. I don't believe for a minute that they thought that was the case. This was, I believe, an electoral, political, legal strategy to try to work around. And I appreciate a workaround, man. I mean, I get it. You know,
sure.
That's why there's you try to do things to get around, you know, whatever, pay less taxes or get around regulation.
Right.
I mean, that's why you hire attorneys.
Right.
But
and
this particular get around was for democracy.
Right, right. Could you imagine a higher stakes game, if you will, right?
Well, right.
And, precisely. Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that the Wisconsin citizens or either the citizens of this country are fully informed and aware of how this all went down and who was involved and what the stakes are.
Right.
There's obviously several elections. We got one coming up here. Oh, there's more than one person on the ballot. Depends where you're at. The Senate district, Wisconsin's 8th Senate district, my Senate district. Jody Habish-Sinikin running for an open seat against Dan Nodal. Mm-hmm. Dan Nodal is a Republican. He's one of those Republicans who signed a letter to Congress or to Vice President Pence to hold off. Don't certify this yet.
Give us 10 days.
Give us a little window because of all these things, all these irregularities, all these concerns. And that's the part. It's one thing to be, you know, if you fall for it. But there were no irregularities.
Right.
That was all bunk. And now the guy wants to run. He wants to represent me, Jim.
Right.
And I'm just beside myself thinking, oh, my God, we got an election denier. And either he knowingly signed that letter, knowing that he was lying, right, which disqualifies you, or right, he has right. terrible judgment,
right,
and which also is disqualifying.
And you're an ostrich. You put your head in the sand. That didn't happen here. I agree with you that all these folks knew what they were doing and acted, again, not because they really, truly felt that the election had been stolen. This is a publicity stunt. This was to appeal to a base out there that wanted this to be done. And it also goes to this larger issue about representative democracy, as you say. There is a wonderful jury instruction that I find myself quoting all the time. My family, they love this stuff, of course, when I talk about jury instructions, right, as do your listeners here. It says, you know, if someone is found, if you determine that Jim Santel has lied to you about one thing, you can legitimately disrespect them and fail to believe them in other areas as well. And that's your point, right?
If on credibility matters.
Credibility matters. And if you've lied to me before, I'm going to wonder out loud every single time you open your mouth, whether you're elected or not, whether you are telling me the truth. And that's the other problem with this. We can have differences of opinion. Reasonable people can differ on many, many things. If you're lying to me, oh, say like Fox News is lying to people about Dominion and other things and the big lie. If you're lying to me about this, what else are you telling me that is not true about many, many other things that may not be at the top of the list for everybody's attention, but nonetheless affect people? And if you're doing that as a representative in our state's capital. You've got to vote on important things like, once again, the budget coming up here, and might, perhaps one day things like medical marijuana and other issues like that, abortion, those kinds of things. I will not trust you if you, in fact, you've lied. And we know these are purposeful, intentional, knowing lies about what the past was all about.
Yeah. Does it matter if it is it specifically illegal? And does it become worse, Jim? If you look at the different little spokes in the wheel, right? Because right. None of these things happen in a bubble. Now, it can appear that way. Right. Oh, this happened over here, and mm-hmm. that happened over there. Well, you know, there's a line. You know, there's Troopis, right? He is throughout this entire thing. Right. It's the political parties in several states, you know, Republicans with Republican legislatures that were put forth on these swing states this plan. So if we're able to identify several of these different issues and pin them together through a greater conspiracy, right. Both on a state and perhaps a federal level. I mean, does it matter?
It does matter. And once again, you should be a professor once again in one of our law schools here, because to put on my lawyer hat once again and a former prosecutor, that's what a conspiracy is all about. You don't have to know every single tendril, but if I am participating, even in some small way in my local venue, and I do something that is not only signals that I'm a participant with this overall contract, if you will, with these other people, and I do something in what's called in furtherance of that conspiracy, I can be tabbed with responsibility for the whole thing, the entire thing. You go back to, as I hear your talk, Dom, I think about the John Eastman memorandum that laid out everything. Again, identify these 6, 7, 8 states, including Wisconsin. Let's talk about false electors. Let's talk about the media purge, if you will, of truth. And let's ensure that America thinks indeed that there was, in fact, a stolen election. All these things, the involvement of the vice president, what could possibly be done in the well of the Congress on that day? The Troopis involvement here is a part of that. And again, not that he has to be involved in every last thing, but to your good point, once again, that is sufficient to include you in some culpability, maybe legal, maybe some criminal liability at some point for being a part of a conspiracy that had the purpose of what? Undermining the government. We've got seditious conspiracy trials going on right now, again, in Washington, D.C. I'm not saying it'll rise to that level, but absolutely. You are participating. You are a part of an overall enterprise. You don't have to be a big part of it to be responsible for the entire operation.
We are the Devil's Advocates. That's James Santel. Our number, 844-967-2789. New York Times, and I just want to bring this up. Last year, May 17th of 22, here's what New York Times wrote regarding Wisconsin. In the first lawsuit of its kind, two Democrats who served as Electoral College candidates from Wisconsin in 2020 have sued 10 Republicans who were on a fake slate of electors put forward from the state in an attempt to help Trump overturn his defeat to Biden. The lawsuit asks a Dane County judge to prohibit the 10 Republicans from serving as presidential electors in the future, fine them each $2,000, and order each to pay up to $200,000 in damages to the Democratic electors. The suit also names as defendants Jim Troupas, a lawyer for the Trump campaign in Wisconsin, and Kenneth Cheesebro.
There we go.
There's our boy Cheesebro, a Massachusetts lawyer who wrote a key December 2020 memo to Troupas proposing the fake elector scheme. Now, this is from May of last year. I just saw it. I just thought of it, pulled it up. I don't know what the consequence or where that stands right now, but that's at least something. I mean, it's something, Jim. Are there damages to us as citizens by this behavior of these officials, attorneys, and politicians?
Right. This is the age-old question once again. Do you have standing because you have, in fact, been damaged by these things? And more, the courts in various areas of our lives are saying, you know what? It doesn't necessarily have to be that you are financially damaged. My bank account is hurt. Although, maybe in some ways, you can draw those lines. But the impact upon democracy, that's what you're really talking about, right? The capacity that I have to ensure that when I vote, that my vote will mean something and that will be represented in Congress. That sounds to me an awful lot like standing, right? And so that's the basis for the lawsuit. Recognize, too, that in many other areas, as I said, courts are looking at that and saying, yes, indeed, there is harm here. If nothing more, there's also an option inside the courts called declaratory judgment. You always have to get money out of things, but sometimes you simply want the courts to declare something to be yes, no, in between. Declare something significant. Declaratory judgment is a proper request for relief. That's also what they were looking for. State out loud, Your Honor, frankly, as did 50, 60 courts around the country, that there was no steal of the election in 2020. This is the same kind of thing. Nothing to see here. And by the way, these people who are advocating for this position just to the contrary, they should be sanctioned. They should be sanctioned and told no more. And again, it's a civil lawsuit, not talking necessarily about the criminal side of things. So the courts can, and I still have great, great faith in most courts in this country to do the right thing.
Well, I mean, but Jim, if there aren't some indictments, if there isn't some sort of consequence above and beyond a stern, you know, finger wagging and, you know, remember at the polls, doesn't that just encourage this kind of behavior, this kind of conspiracy, these actions again?
Absolutely. Let's talk about the word deterrence, right? Another word that you and I have chatted about at great length in the past. If you don't stop your young child from doing something bad to brothers and sisters or putting his or her hand on the flame at the stove or doing other things that are contrary to the best interests of all of us, if you don't stop that when they're young, they'll continue to do it. Maybe they'll learn the hard way over time. Kind of an odd example, but more centrally, the same concept applies, right? Stop them from because it's to their good, to their benefit. Same applies to Republic. And the big one, of course, out there is Donald Trump and these other people, like the Kenneth Cheesebros that we talked about, writes these memorandums and advocates for the overthrow of our system of government, 240 years of history on that. If you don't stop somebody now and say, you know what, you did something here that almost cost us the democracy and may have compromised long-term our democracy, what is to stop the next, not only you from doing it again,
that's
specific deterrence, but also the next guy who's out there, whether you're 18 years old or 28 or 30 years old, and 2024 says, yeah, that kind of worked last time, and oh, by the way, nothing happened, right? This person did not get in trouble civilly or criminally. I guess it's okay to do this. The government, whether it's a state attorney general, whether it's a federal attorney general, does nothing. And so I am not deterred, and it happens again. Biggest example, of course.
Silence is complicity.
Silence is complicity. And frankly, on the other side, inactivity. Yeah. If you fail to respond to this, you are also responsible to it. And I've been critical on a regular basis of Democrats who fail to respond I won't. Maybe I will raise it once, but you know where I'm going with this, Tom, right? We did nothing. We did nothing with a compelling finding that our president, in the first months of his term, our former president, engaged in obstruction of justice. Nothing happened. And what happened after that?
He obstructed more justice.
He obstructed and obstructed more and more.
So weird how that kept happening.
Isn't that interesting as a matter of human behavior? We don't stop you the first time around. It continues down the road. We get more of it. And eventually when we say, gosh, this is too much, Even that, gee, where is your line drawn, right? If you don't draw it, you don't have to do it. Again, maybe some warnings the first time out are okay. But in these circumstances where it's so very clear, you do have to draw the line, not only for the specific involvement of these people, but also for future generations who are going to be looking back to this time period.
Certainly.
Your grandchildren are going to be looking back and saying, Grandpa, why did this not happen? Or why did this happen? And if the answer is, well, gee, I don't know, we just didn't respond as we should, then why should their generation care anymore? Right? That's the concern. And will that generation then produce more of the Kenneth Cheesebros and the John Eastmans down the road?
They absolutely will, because there's no consequence to doing it. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. There is a consequence.
There is a consequence.
Right. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. James Santel, my fine guest for the day, the friend of the devil. We'll take some more of your calls. Also, specifically, Jenna Ellis, another Trump attorney, today apparently has been censured by the Colorado, the attorney, whatever the governing body
sure,
is,
right.
in Colorado, Jim. For like 10 different lies and irregularities and misspeaks and mistruths, whatever you want to call it. She did it. We have that list. I want to go through that and take some more of your calls again. 844-96-PARTY. Come back with James Santel.
Of mine on murder.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You can join me and James Santel, former U.S. attorney, in here bouncing it around. Beth from Indiana, you are next. Welcome, Beth. Thank you for calling. What do you got for us?
Hello. I'm glad to talk to you guys.
Well, thank you.
Dom, you're doing a great job.
Good to have you with us, Beth.
I really want to congratulate you.
What happened to Beth? We still got Beth?
And
there we go. You cut out. Beth, go.
Oops, sorry. Am I here? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say you're doing a great job, Dom. Are you there?
He's the best.
Thank.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I just had two questions, really, for James. I love what you just said about the fact that our society, especially legally, seems to be just ignoring massive waves of crime by this past administration. And my two questions are, one, now that we know that we have documented proof that Fox are liars, couldn't the FCC sue them and make them stop using the name news in their title? And my other question is, just real quick, is, you know, what do you think of Merrick Garland? Because I read through his Wikipedia page, and I think he comes off like a nerdy little establishment guy. But actually, I think he's a very political animal, because I noticed he switched over from rabid Republican Federalist Society stuff over to during the Clinton administration. He started swinging a little bit left. But he remains an avid member. He still publishes stuff in the Federalist Newsletter and stuff all the time. So what do you think of him?
So I'll take the second one first. Again, I'm a big fan of Merrick Garland. Again, this is a guy who should be sitting right now on the United States Supreme Court. Neil Gorsuch took his spot. And, of course, we know all about that from our past history, the last months of the Obama administration. He should be on the Supreme Court today, but he's instead our attorney general, our chief federal law enforcement officer. I'm a big fan of his just because I do think that when it comes to these kind of public pronouncements about what the law should be, I think he says the right right things and sends the right messages, which has not always been true of past attorneys general, including, Bill Barr, who I also thought of as being a very good attorney general, right?
Stole my thunder there.
I knew that was coming, Dom, right? However, Beth.
I don't know if I trust your judgment on attorney general.
Exactly, right?
Attorneys general.
My record is not absolutely pristine when it comes to making evaluations about those attorneys general. However, Beth, one of my great concerns is, again, TikTok. It's exactly the comment that you're making and that Dom and I were talking about before. At some point, you need to make this tough decision. It shouldn't be a tough decision in the end. You've got to prompt Jack Smith to do his job. I understand he's got to do all kinds of things. I get that. I've been there. You want to cross the T's and dot the I's. But you've got to now move, and you've got to do something here, not only for the purpose of, again, deterring who? Donald Trump and the people right around him, but also sending the message about what the Department of Justice is all about, which is we're going to preserve the integrity first and foremost of this country. And the longer you wait, two things happen. One is people look to the Department of Justice and say, gee, nice, it's good that you're doing some other things out there. And yes, they are doing some great things. There's big news out of Louisville just this past week. But on this most important issue, if you fail us, that's the history, and that is the future of our nation. And for that reason, your legacy, Mr. Attorney General, is somebody who didn't do the tough thing. So we'll come to see what happens here. I think time is fleeting, and it is escaping us very, very quickly as we maybe entering the second portion of the Biden administration, maybe the end of the Biden administration. You never know, depending on what happens at the election of 2024. So that's number one. You know, as to the Fox News stuff, how much time do we have? right. I would hope that aside from the FCC and other people who do, in fact, regulate these kinds of things, here's the larger issue. New York Times versus Sullivan, way back in the 1970s, this great Supreme Court case that said, you know what? In order to get in trouble as the media, you've got to be malicious. You've got to be out there. You've got to have malice. You've got intent, purpose. And if you're simply making mistakes, like I make mistakes, every so often, Dom might make a mistake, but that's rare.
Once in a while. Crudy never does, though. He'll never tell you.
But you will not get in trouble for that if they're not intentional, right? That's a very high standard. An awful lot of people have always said, well, gee, the media should be held to a higher standard. No, we shouldn't be holding them to that higher standard because it's the First Amendment, right? You want to have people express their views. However, New York Times versus Sullivan also has a roof, a ceiling, if you will. And if you can show that you knew about the things that were false, you pursued those items on the air in writing and plainly in Fox News all over the airwaves on a regular basis, and you had a motive for doing it. The motive, what was it? It was ratings. It was money.
Money.
Rupert Murdoch is confirming that. Under those circumstances, not only this Dominion lawsuit, which is where this is all coming from, but others should be looking at that entity. And again, I like you, Beth. I hesitate to call it news. I should be looking at that and saying two things. One is maybe there should be some other lawsuits coming out of this for, again, as we said before, other things that they have said out there that are equally untrue. Second, more importantly, isn't this the time for America to say, okay, we've had enough. Now we have got clear demonstrative proof that when those folks, when all of those talking heads, principally in the evening hours, get on that airwaves, they are lying to us. And for that reason, I need to switch over. I'm not asking you necessarily from Fox viewers to go over to Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes over to MSNBC. At least I can't trust those people anymore. Our hair should be on fire about this. And frankly, if I can get on my soapbox here, Dom, this is the other part of what the Democrats and candidates have got to be doing right now. Where is the half an hour news program bought by someone? There are some wealthy Democrats out there who can fund a half an hour news program that goes through all of these things that Tucker Carlson has said, that Laura Engel has said, those kinds of things. And simply says them out loud. This is what this news, so-called news entity, is saying to you. They do not deserve not only your support, they deserve to be turned off. And yes, indeed, there are some government regulations that can review that and perhaps make some changes there of a significant. If it doesn't happen, naturally, doesn't appear that Rupert Murdoch is going to turn off his own station. America's got to do it for the good of our nation.
They're not only not turning off the station, they're doubling down.
They're doubling down. Yep.
Tucker Carlson reviewing these 41,000 hours of videotape given to him by the Republicans.
Right.
He's presenting a scenario that just didn't end up that way.
Right,
it's one
right.
thing to say, oh, look at these peaceful people. Yeah, it's always peaceful until it's not.
Right.
And then it's a freaking riot, and they crap on the walls of the Capitol. 844-967-2789. Let's get a couple of callers in here. Stephen from Green Bay, I can give you a minute. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey. Talk about fake electric scheme going on in Wisconsin, and Attorney Josh Call. I'm not a lawyer. I will never say that I am a lawyer, but I know someone who is a lawyer, and his name is Josh Call. And he's in the position to do something, and he really needs to do so, because if he doesn't, the ramifications aren't just bad for the state of Wisconsin, but it's bad for the country, because there's you know, people in high positions in other states, especially Republican states, that are sitting back and watching what happens, and if nothing gets done, they're going to think that they can do the same thing. And then any time a Republican disagrees with a decision, they're just going to say it's, you know.
It's them. Thanks for the call, Stephen. Right. We'll be right back. James Santel, the happier.